Good Wednesday, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2 News. Where are we today? Do we know?
Sure.
One of those. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. If you're watching on ESPN Pac Rim, Sir, News, whatever channel we're on, you may notice that it's a little dark in the Golic Studio Family Basement today. One of our lights has gone out, which is somewhat appropriate if you think about the recent events of the last day or so.
Yeah, the timing is impeccable on this one. So,
the light went out, which might be an indication of things to come.
Yeah, so as you guys all might have seen yesterday in the press releases that have come out, the ESPN Radio lineup's getting a bit of a shakeup here, which involves us in this situation right now. So there will be a
literally going dark.
Yeah, I'm gonna say in this situation, our show will be going dark, and in its place will be becoming a new show. So certainly, congratulations, Jay, Will, Keyshawn, Zubin,
and let me be clear: we hope they kill it.
Oh
we
yeah,
are all for them, 1,000%.
I can say, and I'm sure they will. I had a chance to talk to a couple of them yesterday. Like awesome guys, and the ones I know, and certainly hope they do a great job and hope everyone around here embraces them in all of that one. I'm going to be in the afternoons with Chinee Igwumuke, and just a congratulations to her, like such a rock star, the first black female voice that we've had full time on ESPN Radio. I saw in the release yesterday. She is awesome. I'm sure be touching base with her on this show over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
Whenever we get the chance to. She's always been someone that we love having around here, and someone that I'm certainly, obviously, looking forward to the chance to work with and the chance to be around full time. She is an absolute legend, and so congratulations to her on that, certainly.
And for all those people that are going to be doing the show, obviously Keyshawn is, we all know who Keyshawn is and what a great career he had in the NFL, and he's done stuff for us for the football side for a long time, and Jay Williams is a very, very familiar voice. For those that don't know Zubin Mehenti, let me just say real quickly, there's not a guy at ESPN that works harder and is more prepared and is ready for any challenge than that guy. And I am so thrilled for him to have the opportunity to get over here and take this spot. I just could not be happier for him. So we are 100% really, really hopeful that that those guys will just take off and do great things.
Absolutely. So, figure we wouldn't ignore that. Yeah. I mean, hell, everyone saw it yesterday.
The light wouldn't let us ignore it.
You know, it means we are also going to be throwing out takes with reckless abandon for the next 2 weeks. So, listen, at least one of us is, man.
You go ahead.
Got him in the chain. No, I'd say, but in all seriousness, thank you to everyone who sent notes along
Very nice.
In the last couple
Absolutely.
Of days. Super nice and all that. Dad will be popping down here at some point this morning just to say what's up. He's getting back from his own round of vacation here.
Yeah, it's funny. I think he's going to sit in the penalty chair over there because we reconnoitered the set when there's just two of us.
The
here.
Social distance
social
set.
Social distance
yeah.
set. So I think he's going to literally be in the penalty box over there as he comes down a little bit later.
Yeah. So
again, reckless abandon takes. Really interesting way to phrase it.
I was going
to
say, who knew that discussing this would be the easiest part of coming in this morning? Because holy hell, what are people doing yesterday?
Yeah, I am floored in this, not only this day and age, but in any age. If the idea is, hey, maybe I'll post a quote that Hitler said, and the answer isn't automatically in your brain, no, don't do that thing. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, Junior, that seems the lowest threshold to cross in any situation. If Hitler said it, maybe you don't post it. And someone didn't quite get that message, and that was Eagles wideout DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, so for anyone that missed this yesterday, DeSean Jackson posted on his social media a couple of messages attributed to Adolf Hitler and Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. On his Instagram feed, it featured a quote attributed to Hitler that said, "White Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were." Posted that in addition to the Farrakhan quote, some of which were obviously inaccurate, misattributed, which is his own separate internet conversation that can be had in all this, but does not in any way, shape, or form absolve DeSean Jackson from the culpability of looking at this, saying, oh yes, this is a sentiment I would like to publicly endorse on my social media feed, and then hitting post.
Yeah, just because it wasn't actually said by Hitler doesn't make it any less worse, because the idea was, you thought, oh, Hitler said this. I think the world needs to hear more about things Hitler said. Obviously, a lot of backlash for DeSean Jackson, including DeSean Jackson making an apology later on his Instagram story.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted what I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm very apologetic, and I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to put any race down or any religion down. I post things on my story all the time, and I just probably shouldn't have never posted anything that Hitler did, because Hitler was a bad person, and I know that. And I was just trying to uplift African Americans and slavery and just enlighten my people. So on behalf of myself, I just want to let you guys know I apologize. I didn't intend any harm or any hatred towards any people. I'm for one, I'm for love. And I extend it every day. People that know me know I have no hatred in my heart. And I never try to, put another religion down to uplift my religion or my race. So, from the bottom of my heart, I just want you guys to understand that. And it's coming from me, my feelings. And, I just hopefully everybody respects my platform, my opinion, to try to just enlighten my people. And just let everybody know that it's no hatred.
Okay, there's a lot to get in there.
Whew.
First of all, I'm just trying to enlighten my people. So my first question is, how is posting a Hitler quote that you believe is a Hitler quote, how is that enlightening anybody? That's the first question I have. Secondly, I didn't mean it the way you took it. No, dude. No, that doesn't fly. You posted a Hitler quote. Everybody has the right feeling to say that's an egregious foul on every level. It's not how we took it. It's what you did. And then to say, I probably shouldn't have posted it. Probably. No, that's strike three. You shouldn't have done it. So that apology was so bad, he later had to meet with Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, both Jewish, by the way, the owner and GM of the Eagles, and have a further conversation and have to release a further statement. But that was, Junior, listen to all this. I really have a legitimate question. What does DeSean Jackson actually know about who Adolf Hitler was? I mean, I'm really curious as to what he actually knows about this historical person.
And all of this is grounds to also question what DeSean Jackson actually believes about Jewish people, what he believes about people involved in this situation, because every part of this has failed to clear the lowest bars of human decency. Ariel Helwani, one of our hosts around here, does so much great work surrounding the MMA, and is Jewish, went on Spain and Company last night and talked about how the apology in conjunction with everything else, it angered him, understandably.
Anything that starts with Hitler said should not be posted by anyone, right? Anything that says that Hitler was right about whatever at the end of that statement should not be posted by anyone. So the fact that you did that tells me that you feel a sort of way about Jewish people. And obviously the content of the quote is very negative towards Jewish people. And now I've seen people say that Hitler never said that quote, this, that, and the other. Honestly, I don't care. I don't care that Hitler didn't say that quote. DeSean Jackson put that out there and is expressing the way he feels about the Jewish community. So afterwards, he has a chance to rectify the situation. Afterwards, he has a chance to apologize. And he says, I probably shouldn't have put that out. No, DeSean, you shouldn't have put that out. You should feel really, really bad about what you did. You should feel horrible about what you did. And I don't believe that DeSean Jackson understands what he did. I don't believe that he understands how offensive that was.
I that's the only way I can sort of rationalize this, is I don't think he knows. Like when he said, I never want to put down any religion, then how can you have that in a sort of a combination with a statement where you posted something about Adolf Hitler?
Yeah.
They cannot coexist.
Again.
They cannot coexist.
The glaring stop signs that would exist here in most normal circumstances for most people is among the many troubling things about this. And I've heard Bomani Jones and others say it, his job is going to be called into question, and understandably so in all this. And that's a decision that those inside that organization that you just mentioned specifically are going to have to come with here. And any outcome that happens with that will be justified based on the position that he's put himself in.
Right.
He is the only person that has done this, and no immediate apology is in certainly one as ill-conceived and poorly executed as that, is going to do what DeSean Jackson, if he wants any hope of redemption in the situation, must do, which is actually commit himself and open himself up transparently to the idea of admitting, I don't know what I'm talking about here and I need help and understanding.
Yeah. In the rambling apology, he said, I was just in trying to enlighten my people. Enlighten yourself, dude. Enlighten yourself about the crap you put out there, and then maybe we can have a further conversation. But that's the baseline of understanding in this, which clearly you didn't get. What everybody's talking about are Deshaun's comments on Instagram, and that's brought to you by 303 Touch the Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time. Coming up, those comments were, for lack of a better term, interesting. And now a WNBA owner wants to keep politics out of sports by using her politician platform to talk about it. Sure.
Senator Kelly Loeffler, who is a co-owner of the Atlanta Dream franchise.
They want her gone from the WNBA altogether.
Tone deaf at the very best and insulting at the worst.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN. Do we know? Is it news or two?
Nope.
Okay. One of those channels. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So we opened up with the situation with DeSean Jackson and his comments and his apology for posting what he thought was a quote from Adolf Hitler. We'll have more on that a little bit later. Sal Palantonio going to join us in a little bit.
What a sentence
yeah.
that you just had to say.
Yeah.
Like, that is wild that in 2020, that is a sentence that a human being has to utter on a sports talk radio show.
I mean, literally, any year after 1945, it seems like it would have been, like, a wild sentence
like,
to
utter. I was going
to
say, like, a pretty, like, day one thing. Like, oh, man, this is, like, someone stepped in it. Yeah. Wild.
Big time. So, anyway, cool. So, here's the situation now in the WNBA. You heard it in the rejoin. In a letter to the WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, Senator Kelly Loeffler of Georgia said she was incredibly disappointed to read about the efforts to insert a political platform into the league, which is basically putting Black Lives Matter on the playing on the basketball court when they get back into the bubble. And she went on to talk about the truth is we need less, not more politics in sports, yada, 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 blah, 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 ad infinitum in perpetuity. The WNBA issued a statement saying the WNBA is based on the principle of equal and fair treatment for all people. And we, along with teams and players, will continue to use our platforms to vigorously advocate for social justice. I find this an odd one to sort of swim in these waters, for lack of a better term, because Kelly Loeffler is a minority owner of the team. She's not apparently the Atlanta Dream had to come out with a statement basically saying she's not involved in the day to day operations.
The WNBA put WNBA, that statement. Yes. It was part of their statement that Senator Kelly Loeffler has not served as a governor of the Atlanta Dream since October of 2019 and is no longer involved in the day to day business of the team. Was their point as the outcry from players around the league was essentially we got to get her out of the paint.
Right, and the WNBAPA put out a tweet that said enough, O-U-T, out, exclamation point, exclamation point. So for more on this and what may be happening, here is LaChyna Robinson, who does a great job for us covering the WNBA, basically on what the players are saying about what Kelly Loeffler had to say.
They want her gone from the WNBA altogether. Natasha Cloud and Sydney Colson, Breonna Stewart, Sue Bird, the Players Association, all making very strong statement that they don't feel like the WNBA is a place for Kelly Loeffler based on some of her beliefs around Black Lives Matter. And it's not enough for them that she has stepped back from day-to-day operations, but basically that her beliefs contradict everything that WNBA stands for, especially around issues of social injustice, and that they want her gone from the Atlanta franchise as a co-owner.
So, you know, I'm very curious to see what the WNBA's decision is going to be here, because if nothing else, you need to understand who plays for you, right? I mean, this is the majority of the WNBA are African-American women, and I just don't understand why she would want to go down that road knowing who the players on that team are.
Yeah, I mean, the irony of someone asking to keep politics out of sports when this clearly feels like a political
statement.
Use the platform to make this point on here, because you're right in that the WNBA is not only a league full of prominently black women, but black women who have a strong history of speaking out on these issues, who have acted out in support of social justice and against social injustice in so many things that you are literally walking into a situation where everyone around you, and knowingly, by the way, for someone who has been around the league for any amount of time, the way that she has in all this. So I think that becomes the frustrating part now, is hearing the statement as well, you know, she's a minority owner of this team, she hasn't been around the day-to-day options, then I'm sure in the minds of players, and I think understandably so, the next logical step is, if she isn't that valuable and doesn't play that big of a role, it should be very easy to say, all right, you just need to do nothing for us anymore.
Right.
And I saw some tweets that basically equated it to, why are we allowing someone around who gives off a Donald Sterling vibe as far as this? And while the circumstances may be different in what exactly has transpired, I think that idea of looking at the rest of the owners around the WNBA, looking at the league and the commissioner, and saying, we have seen in the past that there is power to force someone out in these situations, to remind from the people that have the power, again, that side of the league, the brass, that you have the ability to be a part of the change here that they believe needs to happen.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, we certainly saw Adam Silver do that with Donald Sterling, so I think that's going to be up to the power brokers of the WNBA, including the commissioner.
Yep, Sarah Spain, host of Spain and Company, talked on her show last night about the WNBA statement in regards to Kelly Loeffler.
It's an interesting batch of language to say that the Black Lives Matter movement is a message of exclusion, when in fact all it asks is for them to be included in the idea of their lives having worth and being worthy. To say that it is a unifying antidote would be to play sports and ignore the many issues around the country is tone deaf at the very best and insulting at the worst. And they had to release a statement about how she does not operate the day-to-day and she, you know, is not super involved. But I think the push for her to sell her stake and from many to no longer have her around is pretty strong, including Laysha Clarendon, a friend of the show, who wrote that had she known about her views when she played for that team and went to dinner at her house, she would have been disgusted. And so if this were the NBA, would be massive front page news.
So, and I think thankfully the point that we're at is we see all this and it becomes obvious in a lot of ways that the mistake has been made, and it seems like there is not a lot of going back. You saw a lot of response from players that basically, you know, I mean, laughed, scoffed at the notion that anyone would willingly go and play for the Atlanta Dream right now while she is still a part of that group. But as Sarah mentioned there, the things about the Black Lives Matter movement that Kelly chose to highlight as against, one of them, which is, I adamantly oppose the Black Lives Matter political movement, which has advocated for the defunding of police, the calling for the removal of Jesus from churches, the disruption of the nuclear family structure, and harbored anti-Semitic views and promoted violence. Like, there are lots of parts of that that are laughably wrong in the way that they're interpreted.
Laughably wrong?
My God,
sorry.
I can't do this with you. But the nuclear family structure thing is one that I've seen getting a lot of play recently. I went back and looked on the website, and it is the requirement of the nuclear family structure. And it's worth noting, because obviously that is something that for a lot of people is a trigger point. And I would just say that in this, I mean, this is a chance to kind of dispel some disinformation there. Like, no one is saying disrupt the nuclear family unit. Merely that it should not be the requirement. It should not be the only paradigm that we accept in all of this. So I feel like, you know, part of our job is to kind of dispel some of the misinformation around things like that. And this seems like an easy and worthwhile opportunity to do so in a way that's, you know, fair to people that are looking at this. And kind of like what we talked about this morning, where you get your information from and how it's presented is important, because other people see it and it shapes their opinions. And those things happening, especially online, are as important as ever now. So,
and call me cynical, but for a senator to say, hey, we need less politics in sports, and go through the reasons politically why she's against this, sounds like I'm setting myself up to say, see, look what happens to me if I said this politically. The whole thing seems like a political statement and a political stunt.
Yeah.
All of it. So, I mean, that's the part I'm like, you're saying don't be political, and yet you're absolutely being political in what you're doing here. Coming up next, how will the Eagles front office handle DeSean Jackson's comments and his subsequent doubled apologies? The guy who knows the organization better than anyone, our pal Sal. Sal Palantonio will join us next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Well, if there's a controversy involving the Philadelphia Eagles, there's only one person we know to get on this show to talk about it, and it's the guy who was more plugged into that organization in that city than anybody, and that is your pal, my pal, our pal, ESPN reporter Sal Palantonio. And Sal joins us now this morning. Sal, thanks for getting up with us early. We appreciate it. Just real quickly, what has the reaction in Philadelphia been about DeSean Jackson's post and then a subsequent double apologies?
Trey, great to talk to you. Hope you and your family are doing well. Hope everybody back there at ESPN Radio is doing great. I think people here are just shocked and appalled. And, all you have to do is look at the statement from the Philadelphia Eagles, which is speaks for itself. Regardless of his intentions, the message that DeSean Jackson shared, offensive, harmful, and absolutely appalling. And it's pretty clear that they had some very hard conversations with DeSean Jackson about it and told him in no uncertain terms that what he said was what he posted was wrong. And it is also pretty clear when you read the statement that the Philadelphia Eagles are still evaluating the situation and may take further action. So I think this is a very open-ended situation for DeSean Jackson and the team.
And Sal, I guess to that point, is the prospect of DeSean Jackson being cut, losing his job, a real possibility in this situation?
Well, I'm only going to go on my reporting of this and what I see and I have heard from the team and from people who have talked to the team in the city of Philadelphia. And it's pretty clear that, they are still evaluating the situation and want to know more about, what has been said and what was said and what the intentions were or not. And what he will do going forward beyond the two apologies. So, like I said, I think they're still evaluating the situation. A suspension, release, when you read the statement, both of those things still seem to be on the table for sure.
Sal Palantonio with us, giving us a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless on the DeSean Jackson situation. And Sal, this is not the first time you've had to cover the Philadelphia Eagles in a controversial situation or in a controversial situation in something that was said by a wide receiver of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
It wasn't too long ago that former Eagles wideout Riley Cooper was caught on video using a racial slur, the N-word, at a concert. And then, of course, there was a lot of backlash about that. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking at a comparison here between how the Eagles handled that and how they may or may not handle DeSean Jackson. In your mind, is that fair?
Oh, it certainly is fair. It has nothing to do with what I think. Trey, obviously, my opinion's not important. I'm just trying to report out the story, and I was there. Obviously, when Riley Cooper said those things at a concert, was caught on video, and then was he got a talking to by the team. And I remember, being on the practice field and players coming over to the ESPN microphone and expressing their total disgust and, the fact that Riley Cooper, I believe, was initially not released and then eventually dealt with. So, there are definitely the comparisons that are being drawn. There's no question about that. I've known Jeffrey Lurie since the day he bought the team. He's an extraordinarily forgiving man. He's got a great soul. Just ask Michael Vick.
Yeah,
he believes in second chances in life, and he doesn't act irrationally. I've never known him to do that. He's going to give every person the benefit of the doubt to express exactly what they want to, and then he's going to weigh all the options. And same thing goes for General Manager Howie Roseman. This is an incredibly charitable man. Who is very fair with his players, very fair with his coaches, everybody in the organization. They're going to go the extra mile to make sure they've heard all sides of the story before they make a decision.
Sal Palantonio with us this morning. And Sal, the Riley Cooper thing is interesting on another level because, you know, that summer the Eagles lost two wide receivers, Jeremy Maclin and I think Jason Avant, both went down with ACLs. And there was a widely held belief that Riley Cooper went from being someone who was expendable to someone who they needed at that time because of the injuries. And now you take a look at what happened last year with the Eagles receiving core when DeSean Jackson and others went out and Carson Wentz was basically throwing to converted running backs or I think college quarterbacks at some point last year toward the end of the season. And you look at the depleted receiving core that has been upgraded in the offseason. There's no question about it with the Eagles. So is that an apples-to-apples comparison? Because Riley Cooper in his situation went from, hey, he's just another guy, to, oh, my God, we've lost two wide receivers, and he becomes an integral part of the offense. Is that the same in your minds and how this football decision part of it might play into this with DeSean Jackson?
You know, again, my opinion doesn't matter, Trey. I'm just trying to report what I think the Eagles are thinking.
Let me rephrase the question then, Sal. Do you think, from what you're hearing, is that part of something that the Eagles' thought process might be?
You know, don't know the answer to that question. Clearly, you know, this is not a football issue, right? We can all, you know, reasonably agree it's not a football issue. And so I think you have to separate that completely from what happened here. And I think clearly the Eagles organization is doing that based on what you read from their statement and based on what I've heard from people inside the organization.
Well, they are certainly an organization that is familiar with challenges along these lines and has handled them, as you said, diplomatically as possible over the years. So we'll see.
Sometimes they have, and sometimes they haven't. I mean, you know, everybody's in a learning curve on a lot of different things. So I'm not going to give the Eagles a total pass on everything that how they've handled it. But they're talking to leaders in the community. They're talking to DeSean Jackson. They're talking amongst themselves. They're still investigating. They're still finding out what happened, how it happened, why it happened, how could this possibly happen. They put out a statement. DeSean Jackson has put out his statement. He has promised to do certain things. We're right in the middle of this. And, you know, going back to one of the original questions, where are we? I think we're still in a state of flux about what could happen here.
And we will certainly be monitoring that going forward, and no better person to have it monitored than you. Sal, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks for getting up early with us, as always.
Anytime, guys, and stay safe, okay?
All right, you too, Sal. Thanks. All of that was Straight Talk by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Yeah, I think to what Sal said there at the end, I mean, the what happened and how it happened seems like the pretty easy part of this to figure out is that DeSean Jackson did not think this through or holds beliefs that would make posting this something that seems accessible to him. And so now it's how you want to address that internally. It's canon. Right. I give Bomani Jones full credit on this because I heard his sound coming in talking about this yesterday. It is, can the people inside that organization look at this and hear anything from DeSean Jackson at this point that would allow them to be able to feel like they can go forward with this with him still in that building?
Yeah, and it also is interesting. It's one of the reasons why a little later on today we're going to have Jeff Schwartz, a former NFL offensive lineman, a Jewish player, and his brother Mitchell is a starting offensive lineman for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. And, of course, his job is to keep Patrick Mahomes upright for the $500 million contract that he just signed. How people perceive the idea of Judaism in an NFL locker room, because there aren't a lot of Jewish NFL players. And Jeff had he went on Twitter and Instagram Live and had a really long, like 40-minute sort of live session on that, talking about his experiences inside the locker room as a Jewish player. And sort of, it'll be interesting to get his perspective on this and how he thinks his religion is perceived by other people in the locker room.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. These things all come up. Like, hell, I played football at a school that is known for being a Catholic school. Religion is a topic of conversation, even in locker rooms,
right,
at certain times, in ways that come up in a lot of this, and you do work through that. And in some cases, like you do on the subject of race, have the ability to have really productive, interesting conversations with people from different backgrounds. And at times, I'm sure the water gets muddied on that. So it'll be very interesting to hear Jeff's perspective on that. He's great on so many things, but a chance to hear his voice on this is, I think, something that serves everyone very well.
Look, and I want to be clear about something that I brought up with Sal, because no matter what you say, there is a sliding scale of justice in the NFL, right? And honestly, in most sports, the more they think you are capable of doing for them, in all likelihood, the longer leash sometimes they're going to give you. So that's why I was asking that comparison, because when Riley Cooper said the things that he said, they had two starting wide receivers go down, and there was widespread thought that had those two receivers not torn their ACL, the Eagles would have washed their hands of Riley Cooper. But suddenly his status changed, and it wasn't a football issue that was dealing with that. It was an issue with how are the players going to do with that, but football became a part of the discussion, and there's no way around that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to confuse the NFL at this point in time with some bastion of morality in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Like, we would like to see more of that, but as we often say, there are people, people that I think mean very well inside the NFL, people that mean very well inside organizations, but in general, I don't really trust organizations overall, and the NFL, at its core, is a large organization, to act morally just, in their own regard. Like, they're driven by results. They're driven by a bottom line, and in the case of teams, they're driven by the insatiable desire to find ways to win football games. Like, that is right. Ultimately what governs decisions. Occasionally we get to a point, though, where something becomes impossible to come back for, at the very least, too difficult for the current spot to. It's not to say that people don't get second chances, because we see it happen all the time when there is true contrition, as we always say, but that doesn't mean it can stop you from necessarily losing your job in certain instances, and this
right.
could be one of them.
And it certainly sounds like, from Sal Palantoni, we are what, 24 hours, less than 48 hours into this, and there's going to be a lot of things to sort through. And again, in many, many ways, what happens will be dictated by how teammates, as you said, players or people in the front office of the organization react to not only the post itself, but his subsequent apologies and the things he does going forward. Right? I mean, that's the thing. We talk about enlightenment or a teachable moment, however you want to do it. All of those things, I think, will be predicated by what we see in tangible actions from Deshaun going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, we've said that in the past. I mean, recently in the last couple of months about a number of things as they've come up.
Drew Brees.
So, yeah, I could say in very different regards and circumstances, but a similar outcome is you are decided by your actions and what you do going forward and how transparent you are with that process. And
right.
especially because of the public nature and all this, that's stuff that becomes certainly important in all of this. So we will have a lot more on that coming yes. up throughout the morning. As you mentioned, Jeff Schwartz is going to join us a little bit later to talk about that. And we will also get you caught up on things going on in the realm of, I mean, I guess more of what you'd consider actual football yeah. after we get you caught up on a little bit of what is trending. And in the world of the MLS, Nashville SC and Chicago Fire are now the second MLS is back tournament game to be postponed. The fixture was originally set for Wednesday, July 8th, tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. A new date hasn't yet been determined. The league has also announced Tuesday that a match between FC Toronto and DC United, which is originally scheduled for July 10th, will now take place on July 12th due to Toronto's delayed arrival to the bubble.
Are you all getting concerned about all the MLS people that are testing positive? I mean, this is a bad omen here. This doesn't look great.
No, certainly not in the organizational sense of all of this one, and some of the arrivals having to do with that. We heard yesterday, regarding FC Dallas, we looked at this. Of the 13 positive tests that had taken place going into this, 10 of them were on one team. So now you've, in theory, got 3 left in all of this. So at the very least, that's maybe less of a concern right now, but the overall organization is leaving a lot to be desired.
And by the way, a little bit later, we'll have some sound from NBA Commissioner Adam Silver about what he thinks is working and the potential for things that may not work in the NBA. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Meanwhile, 5-star guard Max Christie committed to Michigan State. The 6'4 shooting guard from Rolling Meadows High School in Illinois. Christie is the number 12 ranked prospect in the ESPN 100 for the class of 2021. He's the number 3 shooting guard. Besides the Spartans, Duke, Villanova, and Ohio State had really made him a priority. Northwestern was also a factor, as Christie's mother played for the Wildcats. And lastly, Trey, get the tissues ready. The Ryder Cup is postponed until 2021. A source told Bob Herrig that the biennial competition between the United States and Europe was scheduled for September 25th through 27th at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin is going to be delayed until the same time in 2021. The President's Cup, originally scheduled for 2021, will move to the next year in 2022. And the 2022 Ryder Cup, scheduled for September 3rd to October 2nd in Rome, is going to be also pushed back another year to 2023. That's what's trending, and it is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has nonstop excitement with new movies and summer blockbusters. Don't miss Becky, an action-packed thriller starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and Joel McHale. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Ah, that one hurts. I'm not going to lie to you. Everyone has their things. Like, you know, I'm a football guy. I love the NFL more than anything else. It is my favorite thing. Growing up, it was just my go-to. It was my friend. I would spend hours watching football on Sundays. But the Ryder Cup might be my single favorite sporting event for a variety of reasons. One, I took up golf later on in life, and just, you know, right when the Ryder Cup used to be a rollover, like the U.S. would just kill the United Kingdom, you know, like whatever to four, you know, it was a stomping. And then we decided to add the European Union, so it'd be a more fair competition. And then in the late 80s and early 90s is when the Europeans started beating us on a more regular basis, and we were like, wait, hold up, what's going on here? But what I love most about the Ryder Cup, it is the only sporting event that I know of where professional athletes play for basically nothing. There's a stipend, there's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but there's not a lot of money involved for the players. And they go out there and just do it for the sheer competition and representing either their country or their continent. And it is one of the purest forms of just competition for the sake of competition out there. And no better description of that might be the 1999 Ryder Cup at the Country Club at Brookline, Massachusetts here, when we were down 4 points going into the final Sunday. And that final Sunday, we rallied back. And those guys, that 99 Ryder Cup was actually complaining, hey, why aren't we getting any money and all this kind of stuff. And there were a lot of talks about that, led by, among other players, David Duval. And just to see the sheer, I don't say animosity, but the sheer competitive spirit that came out of both of those sides. It's just, this one hurts for me personally on a lot of levels. Like, I'm sure other things hurt for you. I just love the Ryder Cup and everything about it. And to see it go away, it's just another thing that 2020 can't end fast enough, man. It just can't end fast enough.
Yeah, and this is one that certainly, in addition to the international portion of it that makes this difficult, that, you know, golf is already dealing with as far as travel to some of these events, this is also one where I think golf and crowds are uniquely situated and uniquely a part of the experience for this. And so having it hopefully in an environment that will be after some type of vaccine is available, where people would be able to be out there and attend this and give it the full scope that we're used to with all of it, would probably be the best version of this for everyone involved, God willing.
Yeah. So again, that's just, it's my little rant. I love it. It's just, you know, I don't know of another sport where millionaires said, yeah, let's go just try and kick your bleep for free.
Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. And I think as we look towards, we're going to have J.C. Treader on, the head of the NFLPA, in a little bit here to talk about what's starting to come out surrounding the players union and what their players association, excuse me, and the plans for the 2020 season, the discussion around preseason, and really just the entire, I think, premise of trying to play football amidst all this. And JC came out with some pretty strong comments yesterday.
He certainly did. And, you know, he's not alone. Right now, there is a real divide between what's going on with the NFL and the NFLPA over how training camps are getting ready to roll, getting ready to start. And there's some real concerns from the NFLPA on their side. Hey, what are the protocols we're talking about? What's the situation we're going to be here? RG3, Robert Griffin III, second overall pick in the 2012 draft, put out a tweet the other day that basically just said, sources, zero preseason games. And the NFL Players Association had a vote where they are not comfortable at this point going forward with the idea of what the preseason procedure and protocol is, and they're looking for a little more clarity. So, I mean, listen, we've said it all along, Junior, the NFL and football, specifically the NFL, have the longest runway possible here. The runway's getting shorter by the day. It is July 28th when teams are supposed to start to report. That's 20 days from now. And we have, what, COVID cases spiking in 40 states right now? So I think there are real concerns about what is the idea of the protocols involved if we're going to try and go about and doing this safely and securely. We'll get to that a little bit later, plus lots more for you as we continue on a Wednesday morning. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.